Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, verse 18. I just want to encourage your heart this evening. We've been talking about how do we remain on fire for the Lord. The Bible has told us that we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. When you see the references to light, in the fact that we're not to hide our light under a bushel, but we're to set it upon a hilltop, where it will be said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid because of its lights. And those were not electric lights. They were fires. They were candlelight. They were bonfires. They were torches that were held up. And we've been walking our way through various thoughts from the Word of God, and the last one that we're going to be dealing with, and I started this last time, is that we need to pay attention to the promptings and leadings of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't think we teach enough on that. I don't think we desire that as we ought to, because we're afraid. We're afraid that we'll be labeled with charismatics, or labeled with the holiness movement, or labeled with the Pentecostal movement, and so forth. We get worried about all those labels and so forth that we forget the truth that's in the Word of God about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to look at verse 18 for just a moment. Then I'm going to walk you through, just share how many times we see this phrase, in the Spirit, in the New Testament. Dozens of times. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Then what's the next three words? Prepositional phrase, in the Spirit. In the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our prayer, our supplication for saints, believers in Christ, is to be in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Now that phrase is one of those technical phrases that appears many times in the New Testament. Let me just share some of these with you. In Luke 2, 27, Luke 4 and verse 1, led by the Spirit, talking about our Lord. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit for His baptism, chapter 4. The Spirit led Him. The Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, led Him. We're to be fervent in the Spirit, Acts 18, 25. We are sealed in the Spirit, Ephesians 1, verse 13. We are to walk in the Spirit, Romans 8, 4. We're to rejoice in the Spirit, Luke 10, 21. We are to live by or live in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 25, Romans 7, 6, 1 Corinthians 5, 5. We're to worship in Spirit, John 4, 23, Philippians 3, 3. We are made alive in the Spirit, 1 Peter 3, 18. We are united in the Spirit, Ephesians 4 and verse 3. And we could go on and on. You go to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Four times we're told that John was led in the Spirit. All right? Four times. Chapter 1, chapter 4, you could go through the listings of that. And each time God had a special revelation concerning the future. It was the Spirit of God that took him through each one of those phases in the book of Revelation, showing him the churches of that day, taking him through to the rapture of the church, then taking him through into the throne room of God, and then taking him through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls of wrath, all of these things that he was led by the Spirit through, so he would have a grasp of the future. And each time that phrase is used, in the Spirit, it often is accompanied by, write these things down. Write these things down. The Spirit says, I think about the Apostle Paul, Agabus, the prophet, Acts 21, came to him and took his sash off of him and wrapped it around his hands and said, "The Spirit saith that just as you are wrapped in this sash, you will be led away in bonds in Jerusalem." The Spirit never once in his warnings told Paul, never says that he told Paul not to go. It just simply said, this is what's going to happen. There are times when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us through His Word, speaks to us through His Spirit who lives within us. And this is not mystical. This is not weird. These are promptings that come from God's Spirit that lives within us. I'm sure you could say along with me that there have been times where I've just been prompted, you need to call so-and-so. So I'll grab my phone and I will call them. And I said, I just felt like I needed to call you. And said, how did you know what I was going through? And I said, I don't know what you're going through. And they would tell me about some event that was happening in their life and they needed prayer. And I had prayer with them on the phone. I don't know why their name popped into my head other than this, that the Spirit of God brought it to my attention. I think we could go around the room and every one of us could bear testimony of the times in our lives where we have been prompted to do something. Write a letter, send an email, send a text, call somebody. That happens. It's part of our walk in the Spirit. And there are so many testimonies in the book of Acts through the writings of the epistles of Peter and Paul talking about the leading of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. That's real stuff, folks. And who does the Spirit bear witness of? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of John 16:13, where the Lord said Himself, "However, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth." How many of you believe that statement? He will guide you into all truth. That's an active work of the Spirit of God in the heart and life of the believer. He will guide you into truth, all truth, for He will not speak of His own, but He will speak what He hears, and He will declare to you what is to come. That's a remarkable statement that's given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's given in John chapter 16 in the context of not just the Jewish people, but all of God's people. Because in the next chapter, Jesus talks about those which the Father hath given to Him that are not part of the house of Israel. Who is that? That's us, Gentiles. So that picture is given to us that He leads us and guides us, and the Spirit of truth will take us into truth, and the Spirit of God will not speak of His own. He speaks of another, Christ. He will speak what He hears, and He will declare to you what is to come. That's something remarkable too. What is to come? What does that mean? Is that some kind of a mystical type thing? Well, we know what is to come because we have the Holy Spirit written Word of God. Amen? When Jesus spoke those words, was this book completed? No. They didn't even have the Gospels. All they had was the Old Testament Scriptures. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the New Testament, and those were written down and passed down to us to this very day. We have the words of Christ through the Spirit of God. And what has He done? He's told us the things to come. Now, what are some of the things to come? Well, we know that apart from the rapture of the church, we're all going to die. I was reminded of that today when I got the text, Terry passed away. Young man. And you think about that. That happens all the time. Every time I go down Highway 90, I look over there at Lewis Funeral Home, and there's usually cars parked out there because somebody's passed on. It's just a normal part of our daily experience. We're going to die. He's told us that that's to come. But he's also told us that he's coming back again. Amen? He's coming back again. And he's going to take us to be with him. He's not going to touch down upon this earth. He's going to stay in the clouds and he's going to call. The voice of a trumpet. Call us up. That's not weird teaching, by the way. That's real. That's what the Lord said. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Get that now. He will receive us unto himself, that where he is, there I may be also. That's a glorious truth. That's what the Holy Spirit has taught us about things to come. But there are other things that the Holy Spirit prompts us about. And we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, not sensational, not out there crazy, and certainly not talking about, the Spirit of God told me to come chew you out. Well, I don't think the Spirit had anything to do with it. You just decided to do that on your own. All right? Now, there are conversations that you can have, and the Lord burdens your heart about talking to somebody about the Lord. We certainly ought to be a testimony. But if it's just your prideful spirit, don't blame it on the Holy Spirit. Certainly it's not Him. So how do I know if it's the Spirit? That's our next time. How do I know if it's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit never speaks outside of this book. Never speaks outside the principles. Never speaks outside the message, the doctrines of this book. If it's something that's outside the Scriptures, it's not the Spirit of God. He speaks not on His own. That's the promise of John 16. He speaks not of His own, but the things which He has heard. And He declares that unto us, the things to come. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I'm so grateful tonight that You are able, first of all, You can help us get through any difficulty, any trial, any work that has to be done. You carry us through each and every time. You're able. But then, Father, You've given us the Spirit of God. This is a real presence in our lives of the third person of the Trinity. And Lord, I pray that You'd forgive us for not recognizing that gift. The gift that Jesus Christ Himself told us would come to us whenever He ascended up into heaven. And we thank You, Father, for the promises of what the Spirit will do. He will guide you into all truth, not just some. He will help you when you pray. He will strengthen you. He will lead you. He wants us to walk with Him. Lord, we shared all those different verses tonight of being in the Spirit. I pray, Lord, that this would be the testimony of our heart and life. And Lord, as we seek to identify how we know it will be the Spirit, I pray that You would teach us to be anchored in Your blessed Word. Father, we think of tomorrow with the dedication of the high school building for the open house here on campus. We just pray that Jesus Christ would be magnified, that He would be preeminent. And we pray, dear Father, that this would be a smooth opening to the school year with all the changes of three buildings now with traffic on campus. We just look to You, Father, to lead and guide, to bless, protect, watch over us. And we pray that we'd be a witness and testimony to all the parents, grandparents, family members that will be here tomorrow. We pray that Jesus Christ would be on our lips. And I pray that our hearts would be prepared because we've spent time in Your blessed Word. And we're walking in the Spirit. We pray now Your blessing upon Your people. We pray that You'd strengthen and encourage. We thank You, Father, for the good news that we heard tonight concerning health. And we just pray that You'd continue to watch over Your people. We pray now Your blessings as we go our ways, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.